Hello, my name is Lisa Elvins del Torre, and this is my channel, Have Roots Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my travels have included, obviously, travel by land, by air, not by sea yet, by train. But most of the time when I'm doing genealogy, I'm traveling through time. And we're trying to get a handle on the area that the person came from and the time period, all of that. In this special series, I'm focusing on les filles du roi, the king's daughters, and we're going to get to know each and every one of them. I believe this is number 21 in the videos that I've produced. And today we're going to be exploring a lady named Catherine de Bayon. But before we proceed, let me remind you to subscribe to my channel if this is something you'd like, and also click the notification button to get alerted every time I post new content. So with that being said, let's review a little tiny bit about Les Filles du Roi. Les Filles du Roi was a program that began in 1663. I urge you to go and look at the video I produced called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. It is found in the videos section where you will see all of the different uploads that I have. And it'll give you a good background in terms of, you know, the program, how it worked, how the girls were recruited, what they brought with them, their dowries, all of that is included in that video. So without further ado, let us go to Catherine de Bayon. She's a particularly interesting one. First of all, she's not one of my favorite personally. She's actually my best friend's nine times great-grandmother, Catherine de Bayon. And I stumbled upon this when I was looking at her tree and looking at different scenarios, trying to figure out, I'd like to have this kind of a person. And here she came, and it happened to be my friend's great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. Catherine de Bayon is remarkable because she is one of the, she comes from the lesser nobility. She's not a princess or anything like that, but she does come from noble ancestry. So let's review who she is. She was born in 1645 in an area called Montfort de Lomerie, and her father was Alphonse de Bayon, Sœur de Valence et de Mescoterie. Sœur really is Sœur. Mother is Louise de Mal. And you can see that Montfort Lomerie is found in the north central part of France. The name of this village comes from its first seigneur, Henri the First of Montfort. So that's exactly why it was named that way. King Robert II built a castle here in 996 in the hills of Montfort. And Montfort-l'Amaurie was the stronghold of the Montfort family from the start of the 11th century. Henri I built the ramparts that protected it. The Comte de Montfort was related to the Duchy of Brittany following the marriage of Yolande de Roux, Montfort, with Arthur of Brittany in 1294. It was returned to France, the crown of France, when Brittany became part of France under Francis I. The castle, unfortunately, was destroyed by the English during the Hundred Years' War. Here you can see the church where she was baptized, the Église Montfort, and this is just the cobblestone streets that I just think are just amazing. Another bucket list. Through her mother, Louise, Catherine was a descendant, and I'm going to start the list, of King Philip II, King Louis VII, Louis VI, Philip I, Henri I, Robert II, and seven other lesser-known kings, and finally, Charlemagne, the emperor of all of France and all of that. She's known as a gateway ancestor. This is what Catherine de Bayon represents to any of her descendants who can link back to her as a grandmother. You now know that you are absolutely related to all the kings and, of course, Charlemagne, because this has been very much studied. We have not actually studied the ancestry of her father's line, so have no idea there. But through her mother, this is a confirmed gateway ancestor. And that's a common term that we use because it's very hard as to be able to prove the connection. A lot of people try to on Ancestry and they take you back to Adam and Eve and that sort of thing. But this is the gateway ancestor that we're looking for. I myself have a gateway ancestor in English history. And so I relate back to, I have a gateway ancestor who arrived in New England, and his, ancestors are confirmed to William the Conqueror, giving me access to the Magna Carta Society. I am sure there is a society for the descendants of Charlemagne. And you would be able to, if you prove your ancestry to Catherine de Bayonne, then it's simply a question of filling out the paperwork. That's how simple it is. All right. Now, who did she marry? First, she arrived in New France on June 30th, 1669. With her, she carried 1,000 pounds, one of the highest dowries I've seen yet. So, who did she marry? Now, the groom she selected, Jacques Mivin de Duchesne, was truly a remarkable story. His family was a remarkable one as well. He was born in a village named Saint-Hilaire-d'Yabriage, which is now known as Yabriage, in the arrondissement of Rochefort, in the section of France now known as Poitou-Charentes. Some of you may remember this area as one where the fille du roi Marie Faucon was from. You can find her in episode number 5. Bouage was founded in 1555. The town was truly established on very swampy land, which had previously been underwater. And its name, Bouage, comes from the surrounding mixture of water and clay, kind of cloudy and swampy, if you will, which is now called Bourou. Now, its economy was based on salt and access to the sea. The salt that it was known for producing was black in color, which was then often sold to the royal family. So the town was fortified between 1630 and 1640 by Cardinal Richelieu, of all people, as a Catholic bastion in order to fight against the neighboring Protestant town of La Rochelle. You've heard La Rochelle many times here. However, unfortunately, gradually the harbor sifted up and became unusable by the last part of the 17th century, and it fell into ruin. But before that, I want to talk about the fact that the town's most celebrated son is the famous Samuel de Champlain, who lived there as a young man and probably acquired some of the skills that he used later on in establishing Acadia and New France. So that's kind of an interesting take as well. Now let's explore Jacques Méville de Duchesne's family a little bit more. He was the son of Pierre Méville de la Suisse, who was from Switzerland, and his mother Charlotte Mogis, and she is from France. We do not know why Pierre moved from Switzerland to the area of Yavrage. More research, probably. But here's the Méville story. Jacques arrived with his family, which included his father, his mother, and his older brother François, and four sisters. So this is a big family coming across in 1649. Jacques was 10 at the time. His father, Pierre, and older brothers, François, received concessions of land in the Seigneurie of Lauzon by Jean de Lauzon himself, intendant of the Company of the Hundred Associates. Lauzon would also become a future governor of New France. So it was quite something. So they were kind of making deals. And Lauzon was also called Pointe-de-Lévis as well. By 1665, Pierre and François, now Jacques, were among those who received land in what would become La Pocatière. They were to establish a new kind of Swiss colony. It didn't go so well. So Pierre and François returned to Lauzon, and this is where Pierre ended his life. In a couple of years later, I think. Now, the subject of our video, Jacques, ended up, he took possession of land in the Seigneurie of La Boutellerie and began with 8 acres of land. So he kind of carved his own path. Jacques and Catherine were married on the 12th November 1669 in Quebec City. So Jacques and Catherine settled at Rivière Well. The name of this river and of this town was said to be named in honor of a man named Drouel, who was a member of the Company of the Hundred Associates and was a colleague of Samuel de Champlain. The Seigneurie of Rivière-Well was granted in 1672 by the Intendant Jardinot to Jean-Baptiste François Deschamps, dit de la Boutellerie, a nobleman from Normandy. The Seigneurie was therefore thereafter called La Boutellerie, which, by the way, actually means bottle factory. Not sure of the origins of this in France, but I'd love to dig into this at some point. This seigneur really worked his land and was a forward thinker. He wasn't just an absentee landlord. He actually lived here and, in fact, is buried here in 1703. But back to Jacques and Catherine. In 1674 and 1676, they actually acquired more land at Rivière-Well. So you can see where their land was in section 15 and 17. Is where they settled. Catherine and Jack had 6 children. Their first child, Marie Catherine, marries 3 times, but as far as I can tell, she did not have any children. For the record, her 3 husbands were Jean-Joseph Ferry, Jean Soulard, and Ignace Durand. Charles marries Louise Grondin and has 9 children, 8 of whom reached adulthood. Jean marries Marie-Madeleine Dubé and had 11 children, 10 of whom reached adulthood. Marie died, unfortunately, at the age of 6. The second Charles, very interesting, right? The fact that, you know, they named 2 sons. So they had one was the vieux, the older, and then the younger Charles. I at first thought it was a confusing thing, but no, they really did. I think he was known as Jean Charles or Joseph Charles or something like that. But he marries Marie-Marthe Lavallée and had 12 children, 10 of whom reached adulthood. Marie-Claude marries François Niquet and had 3 children, 2 of whom reached adulthood. She then marries Jean-Baptiste Arène and had 5 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. By her 3rd husband, she marries a 3rd time to Gilbert Dulac, dit La Plante, but did not have any more children. So this is a very, very, all of her children produced quite a number of descendants. Jacques and Catherine did not live out their lives in the Rivière-Well. They died together on January 27, 1688. Jacques was 48 and Catherine was 42. They were most likely victims of the smallpox epidemic of that year. They are buried together in the cemetery at the Rivière-Well. The tragedy of this vibrant couple perishing so young is compounded by the fact that their 5 children were left orphaned. Their oldest, Marie-Catherine, was 17, and their youngest, Marie-Claude, was 6 years of age. François Miville, Jacques' older brother, who himself had just been widowed the year before and was the father of 8, became the legal guardian of his brother's 5 children. But the legacy continues. And so, just 2 years after the deaths of Catherine and Jacques, their children, Charles and Jean, 19 and 18 respectively, were part of what is now known as the Battle of Rivière-Well. The British were attacking New France at the time, and word had reached the villagers that about 30 ships were on their way coming down from the St. Lawrence. The Seigneur was away in France at the time. So the village priest de Francheville took command, and a group of about 30 able-bodied men waited for the ships to arrive. Admiral Phipps on that ship from New England instructed his men to get to the shore using rowboats. So the French villagers were waiting and began firing. The British retreated and did not return. History is made of these kind of twists and turns. The fact that the descendants of this couple were there to prevent the British from getting a foothold in that part of Quebec is another contribution. In 1800, a study was made as to what families had the most descendants. The descendants from Pierre Miville de Nesuis on down were in the number 7 position ranking. Pretty amazing. And the story of Jacques and Catherine de Bayon contributes to that legacy. They may not have been long for this world, but what they did, they gave us a huge gift of fighters and risk takers. And with that, we complete another Fijowa biography, number 21. And with that, I bid you adieu, and we will see you for video number 22. Until then, au revoir.